And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ian Safar here with you on Christmas Eve. Is today Festivus? Is that what we're doing? It's the airing of the grievances.
Might as well.
We are broadcasting live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rexrode, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Is that right? Is that what Festivus is? 23rd?
I don't know. I can't remember if it's 23rd or like 26th.
I thought maybe it was like multiple days. No, I don't know.
We're going to make it today.
Yeah, we'll make it today. Okay.
Happy Festivus.
You have to like try to put your tongue on like a light bowl too.
It's today? Yeah, all right. I knew it was today. There we go. Happy Festivus.
Okay.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now you're going to hear about it.
That's right. And feats of strength or something. Yeah.
Boy. Ian, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, good morning. We are back to season one of Charmed.
Oh, boy.
So
recycled.
Oh, yeah. Doing good to start off the holiday week here.
Here we go. We got a lot to get into today on the program. We'll get into the all of a sudden surging Nashville Predators, who I met their new owner yesterday, Nick Saban. We'll get into some of that a little bit later in the show. As well, but Preds playing some good hockey. They're in Minnesota tonight, taking on the Minnesota Wild. John Hines got himself a squad up there, so we will get into that a little bit later in the show. Got the Rob Rant, 7:45. Pigskin Pick'em today at 8:30. This is our final show of the week, Joe. So, by the way, the competition heating up in Pigskin Pick'em. And let me first offer my congratulations to both Joe Rexrode and Ian Safar for making it to the final in the Robbie and Rexrode Fantasy Football League.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you. I just would like, you know, like you to know that. So I went 7-7 in our league. And I'm in the final. And in my athletic league that I'm in, I went 6-8. And also, I'm in the final. So it just goes to show you.
Lucky.
It's all about, you know, that's what we do, man. We, you know, we try, but we really save.
Puke and rally.
I was 13-1, Robbie and Rexrode League. Out in my first playoff game. 12-2 in my other league in the final. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I what was I? Two seed?
That's good.
Good regular season.
Yeah.
So been carrying through. Jahmyr Gibbs been a solid pick. Chase Brown actually came through in the clutch. So yeah, I got Drake May.
So this means that that obviously whoever wins our league, I mean the incredible prize that we offer for that is that you get to be in the league the next year. So yeah. This means that obviously, like no one is grandfathered in next year. So
that's correct.
What are the stakes? Should we put
that's
something
between
on
you
this?
Two? Yeah. That's between you two.
No, it's a good question. We can maybe come up with something.
Okay, think about it.
Yeah, you know we've come
some
up
chores
with
chores around the studio.
Consider
or something.
It.
Yeah, no chores around the studio. No, I'm good. I got enough of those.
But I could do some of yours. See what I'm saying?
That's what you want.
That's true.
Take get Rexrode on the board. I think the prize should be Rexrode produces a show from the board.
I can sit there and push the button until I find like
that might involve.
I smoke weed constantly.
Yeah, that'd go well. You
know? That might involve too much work for me. to make that happen.
Too much damage control.
Yeah, too much training, you know.
Man.
I don't know. We'll have to come up with something.
See how it goes.
Listeners, come up with something. Come up with our stakes.
Yeah, the pizza thing is already, I guess, done, even though, I don't know, I think we're pizza behind.
I think we are pizza behind.
At least one behind, yes.
Yeah, we may be two behind. Phillip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts. Joe, they started off strong last night. Rivers goes right down the field. They score a touchdown. That's about it, though. San Francisco, I'm not sure, got stopped the whole night. Brock Purdy, by the way, last 2 weeks against the Titans and the Colts. My goodness, is he playing well. He was 25 of 34 for 295, 5 touchdowns and a pick last night. Quarterback rating of 126.8. Phillip Rivers, 23 of 35, 277, 2 touchdowns, a pick 6, 97 quarterback rating. Final score of 48-27. In favor of the San Francisco 49ers last night.
Yeah, I mean, Phillip, he was keeping up for a little bit there. He did some really good things. It was absolutely, there was no hope at all for the Colts defense.
Couldn't stop him.
And I understand that Sauce Gardner, you know, sitting there on the sideline, 1-5, by the way, 1-5. since that beautiful trade. But my goodness, I'm like, okay, so are the Colts this bad or the Niners this good? I am starting to look at the Niners, and it's like, tell you what, man, they first of all, they are alive for the one seed still, and they might be a real problem for someone in the playoffs.
Well, that's now five spots in the NFC that are totally wrapped up in terms of, playoff berths that have been clinched, and we'll see what the seeding looks like. But now also five in the AFC after last night. The Chargers, the Bills, the Jags, the Patriots, and the Broncos all have clinched a playoff berth. Steelers still waiting to wrap up that division, and then Houston is in really good spot now to be that last wild card team at 10-5, but technically they have not clinched yet. But last night was probably that's probably something for the Colts that's going to be too difficult to overcome, would be my guess. So it's a cool story with Phillip Rivers, and look, I mean, he threw for, what was it, 277 last night. It comes right out and throws a touchdown on the first drive of the game, but I don't believe they're going to make it when it comes to the playoffs.
No, he made some great throws. He's terrific as always. Anticipation and manipulation of the defense. There are a few where it's like, eh, couldn't quite get it there, but it was a cool story. I still am confused. Like they kept showing, they showed like the suite where it looked like it was all his kids. Then they showed like the sports bar back home where it was like another litter of kids. I
Well, he probably didn't want to
don't
spend all
know.
that money for all the children at the game. I mean, you're talking thousands of dollars at that point. My goodness.
But it looked like they had a suite full of them. I don't know. There were just a lot of people that were.
Suite's not big enough. That's what I'm saying. You have to go buy another one.
Yeah, so some of them had to stay back at the B Dubs in Huntsville or whatever. But that's a cool story. He played well, but it's and you think about like him and how he's playing and what he's done. It, remarkable. Also, you think about the Colts and like that offense and the difference in having Daniel Jones and Phillip Rivers, really one of the, I mean, Daniel Jones is probably top, what, 5 to 7 running quarterbacks in the league? Am I giving him too much credit there? I
I'd
mean,
have to
he's,
think about all the running quarterbacks, but yeah, he's pretty good.
versus like now the absolute most immobile quarterback in the NFL right now,
Maybe in NFL history. His current
his
state.
current state, yeah, maybe. So it's obviously such a difference, and it's such a disappointment from what 7-1, right? 7-1 when they made, or
I believe
no,
that is correct, yes.
or were they 7-2 when they made the Sauce Gardner trade? Maybe, but they looked unstoppable. You think about how dominant they looked, and the thing, I again, I understand injuries, but like their defense was also a part of how well they were playing, early this year. So it's an interesting situation. Like, what do Colts fans think about that? I mean, all you can hope is that Sauce Gardner comes back and is just incredible next year, right?
Yeah.
And Daniel Jones comes back and is
Healthy.
incredible. Is
Yeah.
there are good pieces in place.
Yeah, I mean, they've got good pieces in place, but you are talking about an Achilles with Daniel Jones, and I understand that, there have been advancements in terms of getting back quicker from Achilles injuries. And the two guys that we've seen do this at quarterback most recently were significantly older than Daniel Jones is right now, and Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, Joe, with both of those guys, Cousins for sure, like it took him a while to get over that Achilles injury, right? So, like, I have no idea, first off, like when Daniel Jones is going to be able to get back on the field. And when he's back on the field, how long is it before he's like, back and able to run and able to trust it and all those things? Like, it took Cousins a while. I'm interested to see how long it goes with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and younger, but also, again, more dependent on running the ball. If he is not a threat and a intentionally used threat with his legs, then I just yeah, he loses a lot of his value as a quarterback. So how does that look? I mean, interested, like, are Colts fans convinced that he's the answer from what they saw this year? I mean, I guess I'd still be a little skeptical at this point, but then it's like, okay, are they getting into the, are they getting back into the quarterback search?
Just give Rivers an offseason, man. Get Rivers an offseason, come in, maybe lose some of that weight he's put on that he's talked about, and come back at 45 next year, and they'll be good to go.
Well, I will say, watching him play, it's like that guy put on more than a couple
Oh,
pounds
yeah.
in the last few years.
I mean,
You
I
get him
totally
out
respect
there. Oh, me too, man. Hey, man, it's pretty awesome. It is amazing. Like, some of those throws truly looked like, I mean, I said this last night with my family. Like, it looked like grandpa playing catch with me on the beach, you
Yeah.
know, in the 80s. Like,
I mean, but it's
just
also like,
absolute.
it's amazing, Joe, that yes, like, it's very clear that he put on more than a couple of pounds, and he's also been out of the league for 5 years. And within the span of like a week and a half, he's come in and darn near beat the Seattle Seahawks. And you know, I know last night on the scoreboard they weren't close. He did throw for like 277 yards in an NFL game. Like, it's pretty amazing that he's done that based on the current state of physicality that he is occupying.
It'd be cool to see him get a win, you know. It doesn't, I mean, what, they're technically alive, I guess, but
I
you
think at
know, not
Jacksonville and
not
Houston.
yeah, it'd be cool. It'd be cool. I'm a Colts fan. Indy Ben, I know somebody wanted I think Johnny wanted a wellness check on Indy Ben. I'd like to hear from Indy Ben today, but you know, we're on your side, or I am anyway. I'm on your side, okay?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We mentioned it. A lot of the spots in the AFC playoff race are wrapped up. What do we make of the contenders? Who's on that list? And where do we have to put the folks from Duval on that list? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, multiple people pointing out his children were all at the game, and then the people at the bar or restaurant or wherever they were, his high school football team. A lot of people watching Philip Rivers last night.
Okay, that was his high school. Oh, okay, the high school football team he coaches. I'm
Correct.
like, yeah, those dudes did not look Philip Rivers age.
Wow, you guys are young. Good for you.
Like with Philip Rivers, like Doogie Howser or something. You
Hello, fellow kids.
know?
Got any eligibility left? Oh, man.
Okay, good to know.
Good to know. We went through the playoffs in the AFC that the spots that have been clinched. There's five of them that have been clinched to this point. And I feel pretty good about both teams that have not yet clinched, be that the Steelers and the Houston Texans, for wrapping up those final two spots. Now, we'll see. You know, Lamar Jackson apparently is going to at least try to play on Saturday night this week, dealing with a back injury. So we'll see what that looks like as they take on the Green Bay Packers. Pittsburgh gets a huge win on Sunday against the Detroit Lions. If you look at the numbers over the last 3 weeks from Rodgers, he has been really good the last 3 weeks. And I believe that they have the Browns coming up this
Correct.
weekend. So I don't know if you've watched the Browns lately. That's not gone very well.
No
So
DK Metcalf.
it's yeah.
He got suspended two games. We'll
No
see if he
DK
appeals.
Metcalf. We will see if that appeal comes and it's reduced to one. But at the moment, 2-game suspension for Metcalf. So I think the Steelers are going to end up winning the division here, but we will see what happens on that front. Joe, Jacksonville over the weekend walked into Denver and just smacked the Broncos, which has been a very difficult thing to do. That's a very good defense. And Trevor Lawrence looked great on Sunday. And that is now 11-4 are the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are playing really good football. You know, we mentioned yesterday Liam Cohen and where he's got to fit in on Coach of the Year. I mean, he's certainly going to be in that discussion. So I guess let's start here. Is it to the point where we have to buy Jacksonville as a legitimate Super Bowl threat in your mind?
It's hard for me to get there, but then you look at like the last outing in particular, and it was an eyeful for sure of of really what they have going on both sides of the ball. And I just think that obviously part of the discussion is the lack of obvious. It's just such a different year in the AFC now, right? I mean, it's just so different with the Chiefs out. The Bengals are a non-factor. You mentioned, I don't know. I still somehow in the back of my mind, I still have this vision of the Ravens. Like I watched them the other night. I'm like, okay, that looks like the Ravens. But Lamar can't stay healthy. I mean, I still think they could be a threat if they somehow got in, but I mean, my goodness, what's the percentage chance that they're even in at this point?
Very
The
low.
Bill, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's very low. I mean,
Yeah.
they need the Steelers to lose to the Browns this weekend, and they also need to win out.
I mean, you go back 2 months, get absolutely blown out by the Rams. I mean, somehow have to go to overtime to beat the freaking Raiders, and then a devastating loss at Houston, really in a game they were in total control of. And it's like, okay, it's just going to be another blah. They're 5-4, not looking good, and they're just, they're just really playing good football. But I mean, especially obviously the Chargers win, that was a while ago, but this last week, it's like, then you can get yourself into, okay, you could actually turn yourself back to, so maybe are the Broncos pretenders? But it's still at Denver, and I mean, I don't know. We just watched, I mean, I watched most of that game against your Packers, and I came away saying, okay, they actually are legit.
Well, their defense is really good. I mean, and
Yes.
that's probably the most eye-opening thing from Jacksonville going in there and winning the way that they did, is Denver's defense is legit. I mean, both from the standpoint of, I think they've probably got the best corner in the league in Surtain, and they've had an extremely good pass rush. So the fact that Lawrence was able to go in and play as well as he did on the road against that defense, that's the eye-opening part of it. I mean, I still,
I do wonder, is this like a hot streak for
I
Lawrence,
don't know.
or
Like,
has he turned the corner?
that is a, it's a great question because I don't know the answer. I mean, the way that he's playing right now is really, really good. Now, it wasn't that long ago. It was November the 23rd. They played against Arizona, and he was 18 of 30. He threw for three touchdowns in the game. He also threw for three picks. I think he fumbled another one. So it's like,
Yep.
he is now, I don't think he's thrown a pick since then. Like, that's 4 weeks now in a row where he's not thrown a pick, and that, I think he's got, let's see here, 12 touchdowns in that span. So 12 touchdowns and no picks for Lawrence in the last 4 weeks. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean it's a heater. It's a heater for sure, right? It's just a question of because it wasn't that long ago. I mean he's had ups and downs even this year. He'll have more downs. I have little doubt about that. But maybe there's it's turning corner to turning the corner to an extent, and if that's the case, then it's all about what he does in the playoffs.
So what does this all mean for the Titans? Because, it in some ways it's kind of amazing how the division has shifted this year. Because if you go back the first 5 weeks, the Colts were the story of the league. They were, I mean, Jonathan Taylor was in the running for MVP earlier in the year with the way that he was playing. You had Daniel Jones playing as well as he was. And Joe, as you just mentioned, I mean, the Houston was 0-3 to start the year. Jacksonville had a couple of big wins in there. I mean, Liam Cohen almost fought Robert Saleh after they beat San Francisco on the road after a game. And but they were kind of struggling. They couldn't get any traction. And now since then, Houston has gone on an absolute tear. Jacksonville has gone on an absolute tear. Indy's completely fallen off at this point. It's not going to make the playoffs. But you still look at Indy, as you said last segment, moving ahead. And there are some pieces there that I think you have to feel good about. So if you're the Titans looking at all this in terms of what's going on in your division right now, how do you view it? And how does that impact your vision, your plan for what's realistic over the next couple of years?
Yeah, like to me, you're still even with this glimmer of hope. And again, maybe this is a no duh thing to say, but we don't want to get overboard with the optimism, based on playing a little bit better here and getting to 3 wins. But you still look at the future, and it may not be like in the past where it's like, well, Andrew Luck's in Indy, so good luck. Or I mean, I guess really, like Houston and Jacksonville went through the QB wilderness for quite a while, but that was a great player at quarterback and all that stuff that you knew you had to get past until he retired abruptly. But Trevor Lawrence is. I think this year does signify a step forward, which is one of those things where it's like he's several years into his career, and again, I don't think he's ever going to be the prince who was promised. Right, but You feel okay with him if you're Jacksonville, and they've done some good drafting, and they've got, and I think Liam Cohen's pretty good. He's gonna ruffle some feathers, but I think he's a pretty good coach. I mean, I like.
Duval.
There we go. I mean, you look at Houston. Stroud is still. It's he's good. I don't know where that's gonna go, but you have to feel good about having him, right? I mean, you've had your ups and downs, some injuries, things like that. Man, do they have a loaded defense and a lot of good young players? And then, as yeah, like you said, Indy, they have a good roster. That's the one I guess you're least afraid of if they're gonna lean on Daniel Jones or they have to go looking around. But it's still like just the next few years right now. I mean, you've got massive ground to make up. Those teams may not be. I mean, we'll see if Jacksonville's a contender this year, but they're at least in the discussion. We're having the discussion. I think Houston also can be in the discussion. They're not far from that. So how far from them are you?
615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do you make of what Rex Rowe just threw out there? What do you make of the outlook for the division with Jacksonville playing as well as they are? Houston, their defense coming on the way that they are. And what does this all mean for the Titans over the next couple of years? We'll continue that conversation coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 1025 The Game, your home for the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, coming up on Tuesday, December 30th. That is 1 week from today. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Pickers Vodka and Beyond the Edge Sports Bar. Taking your thoughts on the AFC South. Jacksonville looking good. Houston looking pretty good right now. Indy has fallen off with the injuries that they've sustained. But what does this all mean for the Titans over the next couple of years? Joe, the one thing I'll say on that, I agree with everything you just said in terms of, right now it's looking like the Titans have a ton of ground to make up on all these teams. The wild part about this division over the last couple of years is it's been pretty unpredictable from the standpoint of, Houston, as we know, they drafted Stroud. They went from completely terrible to winning the division in 1 year. Jacksonville, had all sorts of turmoil at the end of last season. From an ownership standpoint, I mean, they've been a pretty poorly run franchise, as we know. And they've hired Liam Cohen, and all of a sudden, you hire Liam Cohen, you bring in a 13-year-old general manager, and things are going pretty well for the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Like, Houston was 0-3 to begin the year. People were talking about, they're not very good. And then Stroud got hurt in the middle of the year, and my man Davis Mills just did nothing but step in there and rise above the expectations and lead people to wins in there. And all of a sudden, they're back to being the team that I think people thought they were going to be heading into the season in terms of they got a pretty staunch defense. And like you said, like Stroud hadn't come in and, it's not like he's been incredible or anything, but he's done – enough over the last few weeks to complement what is a defense that nobody wants to see in the first round of the playoffs coming up here. So I say all that to say things in this division over the last couple of years with some of these teams have changed pretty dramatically. Like, would it surprise me if after being the story of the league for the first 8-9 weeks of the season, along with the Patriots, that the Colts next year, with all the problems they've got right now at quarterback and, Daniel Jones and his health, would it surprise me if they weren't very good next year? Probably not. I mean, Jacksonville, for as good as things look right now, it's Jacksonville. When's the last time they put back-to-back good seasons together? Would it surprise me if they weren't all that good next year? No. So, like, things have a history recently, Joe, other than the Titans, of changing pretty quickly in this division. Yeah.
No, that's a very good point. No doubt. Texter says, I honestly think for Trevor Lawrence, next season will show you everything. Because the first season with Doug Peterson, he looked really good. That was 2022, right? That was the year that they and then he fell off each year until Peterson got fired. Yeah, but I also feel like it's Lawrence, but it's also, I mean, they have a better team now. I mean, I think that's one thing. And look, it's also early with Liam Cohen, but it seems like he's pretty good. So I don't I just with Trevor Lawrence, I don't think that he's ever going to like get into the discussion. I don't know that like he's going to be an MVP candidate anytime soon or anything like that, but I do think that they've built a pretty solid team, and probably this, yeah, like the scariest overall roster is probably Houston, you know, which has kind of been what we thought. And then, like you said, they started so poorly this year. There's going to be ups and downs for sure. And the Colts, you know, the quarterback question is really interesting. But yeah, the Titans, I mean, if the Titans can get to the point where we're not talking about Cam Ward anymore, it's like, okay, Cam Ward's going to be the quarterback. That would be obviously a big part of it. And we're not there, of course, yet. But if you get to that point, then, you know, it's all about just building, and you know, there's still so many holes to fill. I mean, it's not a 1 year process. It could be a 1 year process, as I just said yesterday, to be or s relevant to some extent next year. But that also means, you know, again, with these teams, okay, well, you know, you have six games against those teams, right? So in some eras or stretches, that's a good thing. Like, boy, that's good thing we got six games against these guys. Right now, not necessarily such a great thing.
Well, it's, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the AFC South, it was a pretty easy path to get to the playoffs if you could put together a competent football team, right? Like your chances of winning the division, pretty good if you could at least just be competent out there.
It's like the NFC South now.
Yeah, like it's that appears not to be the case anymore. Like, you know, we'll see how much staying power Jacksonville has, but to your point, like they've got a pretty solid foundation of players. Cohen looks like he's a good get. And by the way, I mean, it is worth mentioning, they're doing all of this without the guy that they just moved heaven and earth to go draft, right? Travis Hunter. So what if he ends up being the player that they thought he is when they drafted him? Well, that ain't good news for the rest of the AFC South either. Now, whether or not he's going to be that,
right,
I have no idea. But that is worth bringing up in this discussion is, you know, they clearly thought Travis Hunter was worth blowing up their future assets the way that they did to go get him. And they're doing all this without him, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, no doubt.
Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
My God, gets worse every time. Yeah, he's going to be good. I mean, he's going to be a player who matters to them. Yeah, are they going to look back and say, "Whew, good thing we did what we did to get him." I don't know about that, but certainly, it's impressive they're doing it without him, and I have no doubt he's going to be good. I hope they get smarter. Maybe Titans fans should hope otherwise and hope they keep messing around with him on both sides of the ball. You know, I'd make him a corner and watch him become a great corner, but he's gonna matter to some extent for sure.
Well, and then if you're the Titans, you know, it goes back to, you know, obviously the coach you hire, but also the money. Like, how much from a roster standpoint can you make up in one offseason, right? I mean, they're not going to catch Houston and the defense that they've put together in one offseason, right? They're not going to catch probably the overall talent level of what we see with Jacksonville right now in one offseason. But they do have an absolute ton of money available to them to spend. They've got an opportunity to build through the draft. So purely from a roster perspective, I mean, look, you know, even the Colts, like the Colts absolutely destroyed the Titans in both of their matchups this year. Now, I'd realize that a lot of things have happened with the Colts since then, but from a roster standpoint, you're clearly behind all of these teams, significantly behind all of these teams. So how much ground, purely from the roster part of it, can you make up in one offseason?
Yeah, and you know, obviously, we are framing it this way. You know, I think for the Titans, it's just get better, you know, and not compare. We're comparing, you know, you don't, if you're the Titans, you don't necessarily compare, but, you know, if you can get yourself to the way your offense suddenly is functioning with improvement from some of the young guys, first of all, and then also with enhanced pieces around that offense, you know, all of a sudden, okay. I mean, it's kind of wild to me that in my mind, I'm thinking like the offense actually is closer right now. But it's just because I, you know, how many guys on defense, you know, they have to have another edge. You've got a few guys up down the middle of that defense feel good about, but boy, you have so much. I mean, you're the corner room or the corner group. The edge, you know, there's just so much to me more to do there to be. I don't know about be decent. I mean, I guess they're decent on D right now, It's hard to know too, because this season has been like, it's been so bad, and they've been so bad for so long that it's like you're not used to even seeing them play relevant games against these teams in their division. You know, I mean, I guess early in the season technically they are, but they really aren't. So how far away are they? I mean, I don't think they're terribly far from like being able to beat some of those teams here and there if they have a good off season.
I am really interested to see how they approach wide receiver this off season, because, you know, DK is obviously an electric returner. I think he's a decent wide receiver, right? Like, Io Manor has played better last couple of weeks. Like, those guys absolutely at receiver should be part of your future. How do you slot them? That's going to be what I think is interesting. I think we all expect, whether it's in the first round this year or, I don't know, in the first round a couple of years from now, like, they're gonna, I think, take a high receiver in the draft pretty soon here. How do they supplement all that? You know, I was talking with Gentry Estes yesterday at the Saban press conference, which we'll get into here in a minute. But he was like, you know, everybody just assumes that they're going to cut Calvin Ridley. And I understand why they think that, but they don't have to, right? Like Ridley, if he's healthy again next year, they do need veterans in the room. If they move on from him, they're going to have to go find somebody else that kind of fills that role, which they very well may end up doing. I don't know. But like, his point was, I don't think it's just an absolute foregone conclusion that Ridley is gone. I think I've kind of operated that it is a foregone conclusion that he's gone. But I don't know. Like, how does Borgonzi view all that? When you look at the receivers out there, I mean, we mentioned a couple last week. I mean, it kind of hurts me to say Romeo Doubs' name right now when he can't catch an onside kick. But he's going to be probably available out there, and I think could be a good fit here for the Titans. I'm interested this offseason how much they try to upgrade at that spot when you look at all the other stuff they've got to do as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm with Gentry that it's at least worth, you know, keeping in mind as a possibility. And, you know, it's not like, I mean, if you had Ridley and you got a pretty good version of him next year, maybe it's not worth, you know, the money, but if you have that and a really promising rookie to add to the room, you don't really have to do that much else, right?
No.
It's just a matter of how it fits and whether that fits together. And also, potentially, you know, Ridley could be looking at some kind of a reduced role. But at this point in his career, I would hope that he wouldn't have any illusions either about him being, you know, somebody's wide receiver one.
Right.
I mean, just, does he still want to be here? You know, it seemed like he and Cam Ward had some decent chemistry, you know. Richard on the YouTube chat said he could be trade bait for the deadline next year. Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, what are they going to be next year? To me, if you're keeping Ridley, it's because you think he can help you win next year.
They keep him, they better figure out a way to get him going before the month of October starts. You know, September part of the NFL season, too. Be nice to get him going there.
That is true. And then also have him on the field after that.
Yeah, that'd be great. 615.
After October.
Yeah, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. The new Nashville Predators minority owner was introduced yesterday, and boy, was it a circus in there. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
I'm no expert in hockey, so don't look at me like I'm going to make some huge impact coaching around here, because that's not going to happen. But I do have a pretty good idea of what it takes to have successful organizations. And one of the reasons that we wanted to partner with the Predators and Mr. Haslam and this organization, they want to be successful. They want to be successful, the people in this town, the fans who support it. You know, we came to a game several years ago when we were in the playoffs here and playing the Pittsburgh team. And, you know, I got killed for wearing Predator stuff because I grew up in West Virginia and they're all Pittsburgh fans and everything. So I got absolutely blasted for being a traitor, but
I know how that feels.
I'm not a traitor, and we may have beat Tennessee 16 times, which I'm really proud of, but the only game that I remember is the one we lost. So, but anyway, we're happy to be here. We're excited to be here.
That's Nick Saban, new minority owner of the Nashville Predators yesterday. And Joe, what was a borderline surreal press conference? I did about 3 minutes into it. I looked at Gentry tomorrow. I was like, what in the world are we doing? Like, what world are we living in right here where Nick Saban is involved with the Nashville Predators? It was kind of amazing. I mean, look, you know, the press conference was what it was yesterday. You know, we were talking about it beforehand, Joe. It was like, so what are we going to ask him? You know, like, there's only so much he's doing, right? Like, it's not like Nick Saban's going to be around every day, like the day-to-day operations of the Nashville Predators. But, you know, he talked about, you know, his process came up a lot. And, you know, he said that he's, you know, he'll work with the coaches, he'll work with the players and try to get them the proper psychological disposition. I think I've heard that term from him approximately 800 times over the course of his career. It was cool to see Nick Saban in Predators attire yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, it was pretty cool, and I thought there were some good moments in the presser. Did they make the other guy available who just bought some of the team?
Did not see him in there.
Hey, dude.
Did not see Joe Gresty in there.
Welcome to you too. What do you do in your life? Yeah, tell us about yourself. My favorite part of the Saban presser was when he said that. I didn't know Cam Skedaboo from a load of coal.
Yeah, that was good.
yeah, good questions by you and Gentry, and seemed like he seems like a happy guy, you know? He's out there living the dream, man.
He was jolly. I mean, he was like 10 minutes late to the press conference, and he showed up and was like, how y'all doing? What's going on? They're like, why are you late? He's like, they wouldn't let us land the plane. I'm just joking around all over the place. Like, it, you know, I thought back to some of the press conference moments we've seen from him at Alabama in the heyday there. And it's like, wow, boys, he come a long way. He's just happy-go-lucky Nick Saban in the room yesterday.
Good for him. So, yeah, what is, what is he? What kind of imprint can he leave? Is he actually going to be, because I know he said, you know, I'm here. I'm available.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Is it like the occasional, you know, motivational speech? How are they gonna use Nick Saban?
Yeah, it's a really interesting. You know, I don't think that Saban is gonna be around like all that much, right? Like, I don't. You know, obviously during football season, you know, he's doing College Game Day, and you know, he talked about it a couple times yesterday. He still enjoys getting out there and playing golf and doing all that stuff. So, like, you know, I don't think Nick Saban is looking for a full-time job over here with the Predators in the offseason or anything. But, like, it's pretty clear. You know, he did mention at one point yesterday, Joe, like, you know, when you're sitting in the stadium before, you know, Alabama's about to play a big game against Oklahoma, or you're in the stadium like they were for, you know, Texas A&M and Miami. Like, right then, like, you miss being a part of it, right? Like, he's talked about being a competitor and missing that part of it. Said, you know, am I willing to put in the 14 hours a day in the week to lead up to the game anymore? No, and that's what happens when you're old. Well, like, you know, he said this about, you know, when he joined College Game Day, and he said it a couple of times again yesterday. Like, you know, being a part of a team is clearly something that he likes. So my guess is, like, you know, I think if you're Andrew Brunette, if you're Barry Trotz, if you're Bill Haslam, like, I think you'd be crazy not to, you know, and have him in as much as he wants to come in and go over some of those philosophical things. Like, how are you? What's your training regimen look like? Like, look, he's a football coach, right? So there are limitations from the hockey standpoint as to what he's going to be able to do. And I think he tried to make that as clear as possible yesterday, right? Like, it's like, I don't think Nick Saban's going to be weighing in anytime soon on, like, who the Predators should be playing at third line center. But, like, part of your job, maybe the most important part of your job as a coach, right, is like, how do you connect with people? How do you bring the best out of people, right? And he's, I mean, one of the best we've ever seen at doing that. So, like, I think you'd be crazy not to try to utilize that in some way. I you know, for people who think he's going to come in and, you know, he's just going to be overly, like, I got a lot of this yesterday of, like, well, Saban's going to come in there and he's going to be, you know, he'll get them shaped up and they'll be ready to win a Stanley Cup here in the next couple of years. Like, I don't know how much involvement we're going to see, but, like, he left the door open to being, you know, relatively involved when you think about all the other things that he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah, Saban, I think a lot of his stuff as a CEO, as a coach, is translatable, right, to different sports and probably different industries. Obviously, he's a football guy, so right. A lot of his success also is the fact that he's like just an excellent, you know, X's and O's coach and stuff like that. But certainly he's got some universal, I think, things and strengths that maybe could be applied. If I'm Bill Haslam, I'm definitely happy to have him around as long as he doesn't keep taking shots at Tennessee football at my beloved Vols, you know, which he made sure to get that in yesterday. But I mean, it's a cool thing at the very least, right? I mean, it's cool, and maybe there is in all seriousness, a little bit of beyond just, hey, thanks for your investment,
right?
A little bit of value that he can actually add back in. Lance, yes, Lance is saying that the Preds' value has gone from $965 million in 2023 to $1.65 billion today. Is that an accurate number?
That's probably about accurate, but I mean, you've got a couple years at that point of the 32nd team being involved in the league. There's the new TV deal with ESPN and the new Canadian TV deal. Like, the league is sky. I mean, there's a reason that Nick Saban, beyond his love of sports, is investing in this. It's because right now it's the NHL is growing. It's a pretty good return investment. Yeah. So I mean, look, Haslam talked about this yesterday. I mean, it's no secret that Bill Haslam, in addition to owning the Predators, was trying to get a WNBA team here, right? And I still think that's probably going to happen at some point. But that's where the conversation began with him and Nick Saban, was the WNBA team. And when that fell through, Saban was like, well, I mean, I like hockey. I'd like to get involved with hockey if that's something you'd be interested in. And that's how they worked it out. But, it kind of felt like it started with the WNBA stuff, and then they pivoted to hockey when that didn't work.
I hadn't really even thought about the whole West Virginia / Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh sports fans angle there.
Yeah, apparently he just got absolutely eviscerated when he did that.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Good. Yeah. Well,
Pittsburgh Penguins, by the way.
Yeah,
Nick,
the Pittsburgh team.
It's Penguins. Yeah. Yep. Had trouble remembering that one. Yeah.
Pittsburgh hockey team.
I mean, he did say yesterday, he was like, I knew Miss Terry would come up at some point. He said, Miss Terry never asked me about the score for anything. And then last night I'm checking score. She asked me who won the Predators game. So, it runs deep in our house is what he said.
There you go. All right, Miss Terry. Good times. It is, as you got to see, I mean, talk about, and I know he's retired now, but even I feel like, late stage Alabama, he, Saban, much more calm and kind of personable public demeanor than decades of his life.
Now, I will say this too. I mean, there's usually, I think in the press room after the game Sunday night, there was like, I don't know, six of us, seven of us in the room. There was like 78 people in that room yesterday. Like it was a crazy amount of people in the room yesterday.
That's the power of Nick Saban. Now my question is Nick Saban, is he a guy who, is he a guy who can endure a little pain to get a bigger gain, or is he, does he just want to kind of drift around the middle?
Well, it's a good question.
Forever and ever.
It's a good question, because look no further than what we saw this weekend. Preds are winning some hockey games right now. What does it mean for the outlook for the rest of this season? What does it mean for how Barry Trotz will approach things with the roster moving forward in the short term this season? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.